The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
On Tuesday, this program reported that the Nazarene Fund is trying to help a group of persecuted Iranian Christian refugees. These people, known in the media as the Lautenberg Christians, were waiting for their final permission to emigrate to the United States. But then they were denied visas at the last minute by the U.S. government. We don't know why. The group fled from Iran and traveled to Austria as part of an official U.S. program that specifically helped persecuted Iranian Christians. There were also Jews and Zoroastrians and other religious minorities that were looking to escape the repressive Iranian regime. These people sold all of their possessions. They traveled to Austria. Remember, on a U.S. government program, not illegally. They went through the security screening processes. They were approved to come to the U.S. They were expecting to do it this month. And then for some reason, the U.S. government, the same group that promised them safety and told them, leave and we'll get you to America. The same country that promised them this now is telling them, no, you can't come. So now they have no place to go. The Austrian government is threatening to deport them back to Iran. If that happens, these people left because of their faith. These people are certain for persecution, imprisonment, work camps, and possibly death. This is especially true, not just because of their religion, but now they have also been in extended contact with the U.S. government. Of course, they're all spies now. It is reported that they are destitute, not able to take care of their basic needs in Austria. There are several elderly and disabled people in the group. This is an unmitigated disaster by our making. We have an update now from the reporter who actually broke this story. She is Mindy Belts. She is the senior editor of World Magazine, author of the book, They Say We're Infidels. Welcome, Mindy. How are you?
Hi, Glenn. Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, let's start with the Lautenberg Christians. What does that mean? Why are they called that?
The Lautenberg Amendment was passed by Congress during the Cold War era to grant asylum to special categories of people who are just historically, in an ongoing way, persecuted. At that time, it applied to Jews, for instance, coming out of the former Soviet Union. In 2003, Congress amended that to include include non-Muslim religious minorities coming out of Iran. We know that Tehran is the Islamic Republic is a government that is founded on religious oppression principles, and so Congress extended this protection to those who qualified under the Lautenberg Amendment. Interestingly enough, Vice President Mike Pence voted for that amendment in 2003. And we've been granting, you know, select groups of non-Muslims coming from Iran asylum in the United States ever since.
Okay, so who are these people?
Well, interestingly enough, I've talked to several of them and their families. A number of them have families already in the United States who are U.S. citizens. They are wage earners who gave up jobs in Tehran and other cities in Iran once they realized they qualified under the program and had been given some indication they could leave and be given asylum in the United States.
Hang on just a second. I want to clear that up. It wasn't they were given some indication. That I've seen the paperwork. They were accepted into this program by the United States.
Right. I'm looking at one of them now, given to me by one of the applicants. They were sent, it says across the top, notice of eligibility for resettlement. It's stamped with the Department of Homeland Security insignia and the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services. Granted them eligibility to apply for resettlement, and it was on that basis that Austria extended them visas to come to Austria. Austria, under a cooperative agreement with our State Department and our embassy in Vienna, acts in effect as a staging ground so that they can come to Vienna.
Right.
They begin their resettlement process. They complete their security clearance process. That, too, begins before they come, but they complete it in Vienna, and then they are processed, as other refugees are, for admission to the United States.
How often, Mindy, is it that somebody is granted this and then it's revoked?
Up until this particular group of about 100 that we're talking about, almost never. I was told 98% of the time, once they reach Austria, they have already gone through the legal and security hurdles and are deemed qualified by the U.S. government to come to Austria, thereby to come to the United States.
Is there any reasonable explanation on why this is happening?
There are explanations. You and I could debate whether they're reasonable or not, but there has been just a chasm of a black hole on this whole thing that we've been asking questions now for a couple of months. A number of other people have been asking too. Members of Congress wrote letters in February on this and have not received answers back. We've had some statements from the State Department. The State Department told us this has to do with the previous administration's security clearance hurdles. We've been told that they failed security clearances, but it's hard to imagine that. You know, you mentioned
all 100.
All 100, exactly. And you mentioned that some of them are disabled. I know that there is at least one elderly couple in this group. And one of those family members is in a wheelchair. So it's not credible that they pose a security threat. And the limbo that they've been left in is also what's questionable. If they did pose a security threat, you would expect the Austrian government to be deporting them back to Iran by now. That's not happening, even though they've been threatened with that. And some of them have had their apartments raided by Austrian police and have been asked to turn over passports and documents. So they are being asked to live in really a kind of intolerable limbo, and we are not getting answers to what the U.S. government's position on this is.
Mike Pence is a reasonable man and a good man. What does he say about this? Have you had the chance to talk to Mike?
No, and to my knowledge, because the members of the Tom Lantos Human Rights Commission in the House of Representatives, they sent a letter dated January 29th to Vice President. And, in it, they reminded him, the Vice President has been an outspoken advocate for persecuted Christians. He said their plights have stirred Americans to act. Yet there's been no response from his office to the Tom Lantos Commission, and I'm not aware of him taking an active role despite being asked to.
So what can the average person do, and what can we do at Mercury One?
Well, it seems to me that this is the sort of thing that ought to be, Congress at least deserves to have an answer on what's going on. They need to have an intelligence briefing. If we're talking about national security issues here, then it seems to me a closed-door briefing on what's going on with these cases. There need to be answers given to Congress, given to the American public on whether our immigration laws, this is a provision of our immigration and refugee laws that does not come under the current Trump administration travel bans. They need to be told why our government is not processing refugees and immigrants in a lawful way if they are applying under the law. And everything that I've learned about these cases indicates to me that up until, just a few months ago, everything was proceeding according to law. So now it seems to me that the State Department, Department of Homeland Security, and the Vice President, because he's been asked about these specific cases, need to be open and say, here are the concerns that we have. And then they need to resolve these cases for the benefit of these families from a strict humanitarian standpoint. These families need to know if they are going to be able to live somewhere in safety if they're going to be forced to go back to Iran, which, as you pointed out, would be disastrous.
Tell me, or what? Tell me, Mindy, what happens to them if they do go back? I mean, excuse me, they have, excuse me, they have been, they've taken a stand on religion, which is not going to go over well in the first place. But then they went to the Americans and they have had contact with the Americans, which never goes well. What happens to these people, do you suppose, if they go back?
I think it's clear that it won't be good. I mean, we can look at, I mean, three Iranian pastors were sentenced to given lengthy jail sentences in this past December. There are dozens of Iranian Christians who are in jail now. Plus, you have this destabilized situation where you continue to have demonstrations in Tehran and other cities, and people are arrested almost every night there. So, as you point out, these people not only fall against, have a strike against them because they are non-Muslim religious minorities. The second strike they have against them is that by taking the steps they have, they clearly oppose their government. Mm-hmm. They don't believe they're safe under their own government. And they would be going back at a time when this government is taking people off the streets and putting them in jail. Why would they not just immediately jail these people? Why would they not be denied? They've sold their property. They've given up their jobs. What do they have to go back to?
Mindy Belts, the author of They Say We Are Infidels. She also has she's the senior editor of World Magazine, and she's the one who's broken this story. And please stay in touch with us, Mindy, and we'll continue to follow the story. Appreciate it.
Will do. Thank you.
By the way, if you want to get involved, please support the Nazarene Fund. You can go to thenazarenefund.org. Do it now. Let me go to Christina in California. Hello, Christina.
Hello. I just wanted to get the word out, give encouragement to people to give to Mercury One and the Nazarene Fund. My husband and I gave last year. We got a Christmas card with a precious picture of the of one of the rescued trafficking victims. You know, there's no greater seed that can be sown. It will not return void, whether you're religious or non-religious, political or apolitical. Give to the Mercury One.
Well, Christina, thank you. Thank you so much. Where in California do you live?
I live in Fresno, the Central Valley. I'm a conservative. I watch the PGA. I'm a unicorn. You're talking to a real life unicorn.
Well, good luck with the mudslides and the rains and the fires and the earthquakes that are coming your way. I read about them this morning. And so you've got nothing to worry about. You're in California, so you're in safe hands. God bless you.
I'm landlocked. So what we're doing, we're being starved of agricultural water by our state legislature. You know, bat crazy Governor Brown. So that's what I'm dealing with.
It's crazy. It is really, truly crazy. Christina, thank you so much and God bless. And thank you. Thank you for giving to the Mercury One and the Nazarene Fund.
Glenn Beck.
Welcome to the program. A Kansas woman, suspicious that someone had broken into her home, called police. The Salina Journal reports a 23-year-old woman called police at her home Thursday after finding her front door was chained from the inside. Police say they went to the house, they searched the house, and could find no intruder. They were baffled. How did someone lock the chain of the door without anybody being inside? Well, 2 hours later, the woman and her current boyfriend heard a loud noise. They rushed out into the living room and looked up, and they saw two legs hanging out of the living room ceiling. Apparently, the woman's 25-year-old former boyfriend had fallen through partially through the living room ceiling. He was hiding in the attic. Police say the current boyfriend then pulled the old boyfriend, pulled on his legs, and pulled him the rest of the way through the ceiling, and they began fighting. Bergkamp, the guy in the ceiling faces several charges, including aggravated burglary and criminal threat.
We used to encourage persistence in this country, and now look where we are.
Right?
I mean, guy obviously just really cares. Really dedicated to that ex.
24-year-old Virginia woman allegedly driving drunk in New Jersey over the weekend smashed into two parked cars. She said to her friend, "I'm too drunk to drive." Her friend said, "Okay, well, I can drive." So they switched places. Her friend went behind the wheel, and they smashed into two more cars before police came. And they allegedly told the cops they were trying to figure out who was less drunk to drive the car. Neither of them really were less drunk. They were way over the legal limit. They had banged up the SUV that they were driving in, that they couldn't drive it anymore. And cops had a hard time getting them out. So,
yeah, surprisingly, you don't get points for being less drunk.
No.
If you're drunk.
Which one of us is less drunk? If there is a warning label, do not operate heavy machinery when you are drunk, which one of us would that label be talking to?
Apparently, in this case, both.
Yes.
On the weekend that Chappaquiddick comes out in theaters, it's probably a reminder that driving while impaired may not be the best idea.
Might have been a good thing to have him ask that question. Which one of us are less drunk? Well, I'm not drunk, but you are. Might have been a good question for him to ask.
I would say, given the circumstances that we now know.
Are you going to go see Chappaquiddick?
Yeah, definitely. I'm really excited to see
it. Have you seen Ready Player One?
No.
You don't want to.
I mean, I would see it. I saw a runtime of, 2:38? And I was like, you're stretching it there.
I really want to see it, but I read the book. And it's one of the best books I've ever read. I mean, I started reading it, and I said, everybody, come in the room. And my whole family came in, and they don't, I mean, you know, some people will say to me, I wish I could hear you read that book. No, if you're in my family, nobody wants to hear that. Okay. Nobody wants to hear the old timey stories. They don't want to hear the, you know, history. They don't want to hear it.
You've paid lots of money over your career to read material like that in an entertaining fashion, but your family doesn't.
My family is like, shut up. Okay. Just shut up. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
and they know you best. So.
And they know me best. So I said, everybody come here. And I read a chapter. We ended up reading the entire book over like a 4-day period. I mean, we were all on vacation, and I just read it out loud, and it is a great book. And we read it when it came out, and we were like, this is going to be the greatest movie ever. But we discussed you'd never be able to make it because it would be way too expensive just in the rights alone, because it's all pop culture. And it's amazing. When we heard that Steven Spielberg had secured the rights, we're like, he's the only guy that could do it right.
I've heard really good things about it. Are you seeing
I've heard that
things?
If you've read the book, you're really not going to like it. If you haven't read the book, you're going to love it. But, I mean, I read Harry Potter, and I still like the Harry Potter, and the book was better.
But you still like the movie.
Glenn, I still like
Beck,
the movie.
Mercury. Listening to the Glenn Beck program.
Let's talk a little bit about this trade war that's going on. Larry Kudlow says it's not a trade war, but Larry, it is a trade war. You know, hopefully it is just a negotiating point. It will go away soon, but Dow is down another 400 points today. And that is because Donald Trump doubled down and said, we're going to do $100 billion on tariffs on China because we didn't like your response. Well, China is now expected to respond, and they are looking at things that actually, I mean, let me put it this way. Donald Trump just went after the oligarchs. Why did he do that, Stu? Why did he pick that group?
They're very tied into the Kremlin. They're tied into Putin. They're very important for Russia's economy.
They're his support team, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Who is Trump's support team? The center of the country. Who do you think China is going to hit? China is going to hit the center of the country, and they are going to hit the poorest and the farmers. Mm-hmm. That's who they're going to hit. This is going to hurt bad.
And it can get much worse than that if, you know, they've got, what, $1 trillion, $2 trillion, $1.5 trillion, something like that in treasuries. And something we never even think of, they refine almost all the world supply of precious metals. The precious metal that goes into cell phones and computers and high-tech weaponry. If they were to withhold exporting that to us, that would cripple us for years, until we could catch up again.
Here's the deal. We have all of that.
We do. We just don't do anything with it.
We've banned the exploration and mining of all of that precious metal because it's up in Alaska, and God forbid we hurt the elk. And so we don't have access to it.
So we've left it all to China.
Yeah, it'll take us a decade to get it.
So short-sighted. Just we've made some unbelievably stupid decisions over the years. I don't even understand it, except for the fact that they're pandering to the environmentalists. You can do all that stuff safely anyway without really disrupting moose mating habits much at all.
Right.
You could play a little Barry Manilow, put him back in the mood.
Yeah.
Hey, we know you're the mining probably put you off your mood, but here's some Manilow for you. Just put giant speakers out there in the wilderness.
You think
be
the
fine.
Mining, too, I mean, it warms the area around there, so I mean,
right.
maybe it would actually get them more in the mood.
Right.
Maybe we'd be overrun by elk.
Here we go. Global warming. Listen to these two extremists. So this is really...
It could be really bad.
This could be really bad.
This is, though, we should put it in perspective in that this is a campaign promise kept by Donald Trump. I mean, this is not something he hid and came up with later. This is explicitly what he ran on. And he said just yesterday the truth, which is there's going to be a lot of economic pain with these policies.
But we'll get stronger because of it.
But it's worth it. You know, he's saying, you know, if you're a farmer and, you know, look, the first of the $50 billion that he put on tariffs, which is, again, we should be clear, a $50 billion tax increase on the American consumer. Okay. That's what a tariff is. It's a tax increase on the American consumer to try to punish some other source. But that's who winds up paying it is us. So that $50 billion tax increase.
And especially the poor.
Yeah, exactly, especially the poor. The $50 billion tax increase has been projected to cost America 190,000 jobs. Now, an extra $100 billion on top of that, I mean, it probably won't be exactly double, but probably another 300,000 or 400,000 jobs will be hurt because of that. And again, Trump has been clear with this and consistent the entire time. Yes, we will do this. He said yesterday, we had a lot of stock market gains. We're going to have to give some of those back. This is a policy that everyone on earth knows is bad for an economy. But he's saying you're going to pay for that now. We're going to take some hits in the economy now. But over the long term, we'll be stronger. He's promised it from the beginning. I mean, there's not a lot of evidence to support it in history. But it's something he promised, and he won the election partially based on that platform.
So I think his supporters, many of his supporters, will support him through this until they start feeling the pain. Once they start feeling the pain, he's going to need to ratchet up it's the Chinese. And this is why trade wars lead to actual wars.
We saw it a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. This occurred. It started with a trade war, and people were like, "Oh, it's just a bunch of boring people around a Senate. These prequels suck."
That was
and then what happened.
Series of documentaries focused on what a trade war.
Guys, that was Star Wars. It was a movie.
It was a documentary
and a
film.
Of bad
I would
movies.
Say I would call it a documentary film.
It was a very series of very bad movies. Very bad.
But that's what eventually people start taking. You know, they build Death Stars.
That's what happens
at the end.
That's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Have you also, we haven't gone through the Roseanne conspiracy theories yet. Have you heard these, Pat?
No.
Yeah. So Roseanne is strangely Donald Trump, for Donald Trump, because I think, you know, she's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought she was connecting with the average person in the center of the country who is feeling pain. And so that's what she was reflecting on the show. I'm not so sure that's what's happening because she believes this really weird, almost Pizzagate times two conspiracy theory that she says that Donald Trump is arresting Democrats who are in a sex ring, a childhood sex slave ring, and he's taking care of that.
Now, she believes this?
Well, it's not 100% confirmed. So she tweeted. People were like, "Why are you?" You know, she ran as a communist for president of the United States, a socialist party called the Peace and Freedom Party in 2012. It's the clip that we played twice today, which is Roseanne saying in an interview for her campaign, she said, "We should lop the heads off of bankers who break rules." She's a socialist. So why the heck does she support Donald Trump?
Communist.
Yeah. Why does she support Donald Trump? Well, it's not because she's, well, really a conservative at heart. She says President Trump has freed so many children held in bondage to pimps all over this world. Hundreds each month. He's broken up trafficking rings in high places everywhere. Notice that. I disagree on some things, but give him the benefit of the doubt for now. So... So people
actually, this company has actually had a hand in that. I don't think Donald Trump has raised a finger to do any of that.
It would be great, honestly.
With
this, we just talked about a real case where he can help with, and this isn't quite
a hundred Christian refugees
Nazarene fund related. And it would be great if Pence or Trump could step up to help this because they can actually do something about that. So this is a situation where she kind of later tried to. Say no, I'm not saying conspiracy. She posted that he named it National Child Abuse Prevention Month.
That's what she was referring to.
However, her past shows a strong proclivity to conspiracy theories. Also, she has mentioned the person who has launched this conspiracy theory months and months ago on Twitter, asking who he was and asking for a direct message from this person. So the way this started on 4chan, the message board, which most conspiracy theories seem to start these days. And it's also sort of a place where people troll each other and prank each other. So no one knows when things are serious and when they're not. And what's funny is that people make jokes on 4chan that wind up being turned into serious conspiracy theories later, which is a really weird sort of
this
work
sounds
path.
Like a fun weekend hobby for me.
Oh, gosh. it's amazing. Just to go
hey,
there.
Pat, let's get on 4chan.
So they have this politically incorrect message board, which was where this started. One specific user goes by the name Q. Q Clearance Patriot or Q Anon. A lot of people are anonymous on this site. Basically, Trump made a speech in which he mentioned the calm before the storm. It was a minor blurb for a couple of days where people were like, what the heck is the storm? Even like legitimate journalists are like, what are you even talking about? Well, because it was never answered, people started filling in the blanks with a conspiracy theory. The storm being that it is a massive arrest of Democrats involved in a satanic child sex trafficking ring. Obviously, it's the first thing you're going to go to. It seems like it's basically Pizzagate without the pizza.
Wow.
So Roseanne has mentioned the particular person who came up with this, which there's no evidence to believe that this person is tied into anything. He or she has come out and said John Podesta was going to be arrested on November 3rd. Now, do you guys remember that arrest by any chance?
No. But I'm just trying to get my arms around your denial that the Democrats are in a satanic death cult that is selling children into sex slavery.
Doesn't seem to be a lot of evidence supporting this, as we've seen already. I mean, Pizzagate has already gone through its cycle of being something and then being discredited and now going away.
Yeah, and Alex Jones, who promulgated that theory, actually was sued for it
and
had to make an on-air apology about it.
Like, that's how bad this has gone. Even Alex Jones has abandoned this theory, right? But no.
Had to, because there was nothing to it. They actually went to, I think it's called, was it Ping Pong Pizza?
Yeah, something. Yeah, Comet
something
Ping Pong.
Comet Ping Pong Pizza. And there's no basement there. So it's hard to run a basement sex slave trade when you don't have a basement.
I mean, if you're building a conspiracy theory, pick a building with a basement, please.
Guys, I can't believe how stupid you are.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
Do you remember the bat pole?
I do.
Yeah, that wasn't just out in the open.
That's true.
You had
that's
to know. True. You have to take Shakespeare's true. Head, open it up, push the button. Then that wall opens.
Then it opens. another interesting part of this is part of the conspiracy theory appears to be that Mueller is a good guy. Now, most of the sort of pro-Trump media, if you want to go into the pro-Trump conspiracy media, obviously thinks Mueller's a bad guy. He's investigating Russia. We don't want him to investigate Russia. There's nothing there. It's a hoax, right? Mueller is actually not investigating Trump and Russia. He's actually investigating the child sex rings secretly.
Oh my
so
gosh.
He's actually on the side of Trump as they're working to bust up these child sex rings.
Boy, people have a lot of time on
that. How does this? How does Roseanne? I mean, you know, we were talking about Kevin Williamson today. Kevin Williamson, in a piece of critical thinking, said, "Do we believe this? If you believe that abortion is murder, then we should execute those who are involved in abortion." Now, this is a political mm-hmm. and educational thought piece. Okay.
Yeah.
Roseanne gets on television and she says, in her campaign, "I think we should execute those that were involved in Wall Street in 2008, behead them, guillotines, and we'll give them a chance at the re-education camp first." She's serious. She believes in this stuff. They won't even let Alex Jones. They don't want Megyn Kelly to even do an interview with Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And yet they'll give Roseanne a TV show. I mean, I don't even understand it. The world makes no sense whatsoever. Thus, I think those tunnels.
There's two.
And there's tunnels.
I think those tunnels exist. I think they absolutely.
Yep.
I think all pizza, big pizza, is involved in this. You know, whatever happened to the Noid, I think he's running this thing.
Did you notice that Domino's Pizza doesn't do a 30-minute delivery anymore?
Did too much.
Too many sex slaves in their basement.
Apparently. Wow. All run by the Noid. They said avoid the Noid. Why do you think? He's bringing you to the tunnels beneath their stores.
That's why you have to say, when you call them, you say, "Yeah, I would like it delivered in 12 minutes.
Oh, no. And that's, wow.
30's way too old.
Yeah.
Definitely not 18. I want something under 18 minutes delivered.
Good God. This is going to be on 4chan by the rest of the end of the day.
It sure will
And be. Then featured on Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. Pat Gray Unleashed. Maybe he'll be talking about these important issues as well, coming up on the Blaze Radio and TV networks, and at Pat Unleashed on Twitter.
Glenn Beck.
Stu, time for one story. Choose your news.
All right.
New Yorkers repeatedly ticketed even though they don't have a car. Headline number two. Mother turns placenta into smoothie and serves it to kids who say it's yummy.
What
is wrong with people? What is wrong with people?
Placenta is like one of those words that's disgusting even if you don't know what it means. There's just something about the sound of it that's gross.
Headline number three. New York has finally arrested the serial underwear stealer.
Wow. Okay. So let's go through these. First of all, absolutely no chance placenta wins it.
No.
Placenta is out.
No.
I do not want to hear about a placenta
smoothie.
No,
she said her kids, listen to this. She said her kids said that it was really good. She said drinking the smoothie gives them energy, better and deeper sleep. And she said her kids liked it because it had berries in it.
That's because they like berries, not because they like placenta.
Well, if you don't want
that one's out,
and a smoothie, that's fine.
Have I learned a lesson here to not rule a story out, or you'll tell me about it? Because that something I need
no,
to
there
learn
was much
the
more to that story.
Okay, good. I'm glad I skipped it. So then you have the people getting ticketed for nothing, mm-hmm. or the serial underwear stealer.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of me that kind of wants to know how you're getting a ticket when you're not a driver. Mm-hmm. But I mean, how do you go against the serial underwear stealer? I want to know what this is about.
In his confession, he said he stole underwear because he felt urges. On several occasions, he entered a home and opened the hampers and picked through it to find soiled women's underwear. He was taken into custody. It happened around 9 a.m. last Thursday. Young woman in her house was alone. Prosecutors, she was sleeping but woke up when she heard the door open. She called out, "Hello?" And that's when she saw the underwear thief in her home. The underwear thief had been in her home several times. She then locked the door and called 911. The responding officers say that the underwear thief was at the door of another house in the neighborhood, pretending to knock on the door. They found several pairs of soiled women's panties on him. And here's the kicker of this.
He's a New York State judge and very well respected. And his colleague said, we never expected this, but he's very good and everybody likes him. So we're just going to have to watch and see how this plays out.
Wow. It's like Chappaquiddick.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.